Some of you know Bart Giamatti, who was president of Yale University and who gave up that position at Yale for a higher calling to be the commissioner of Major League Baseball. He said, he was something of a philosopher. He said, baseball breaks your heart. He said, it's designed to break your heart. And if you're a Cub fan, you know what that's all about. And it happened again last night. So our sympathy to Cub fans. You know, the scriptures end in the book of Revelation with the longing that Jesus will come again, looking forward to that day when all sorrow and crying and pain are gone. And Cub fans have a little bit of a hint of what that longing is like. But the White Sox still have hope. Not a lot, but some. The Brewers perhaps a little more. So we'll continue to hope that that some local team will prosper in the postseason. Anyway, according to last week's Chicago Tribune, a dog's memory lasts about 30 seconds. 30 seconds. Now, that's not the long-term memory. You know, they know who you are. They remember you. Obviously, they do. But in terms of if your dog does something wrong, and you want to correct your dog, discipline your dog, let them know you're not pleased with their behavior, then you have about 30 seconds to do something. Because if you wait longer than that, the dog is not going to make the connection between what the dog did and what you're doing. It's slightly longer than children's short-term memory in that regard. Anyway, you could argue whether our human memories are a whole lot better. In her book, Christianity for the Rest of Us, Diana Butler Bass writes of the rootlessness of modern life, of our lack of connection with the past, that in many ways says we have a sort of an amnesia. We have a short memory. We are so mobile that we very often have lost a sense of place, a sense of home. We have so valued the new and the modern with their definite virtues, but often at the expense of forgetting the virtues of the ages, the wisdom of those who have gone before us. We have so put our trust in the latest and the greatest, from the modern technology that is often our servant to 401ks and even subprime mortgages, that we do not remember that those things can never truly satisfy us. We don't remember what really matters. We have a kind of amnesia, she says. We've forgotten what is of the most value. We've forgotten what makes our lives worth living. Now, Clark Gable, who was the Brad Pitt of the 1930s, the heartthrob movie star, he had a photograph of himself in his dressing room, a photograph taken before he was a star, when he was pushing a broom. And he would occasionally look at that photograph and say to himself, "Remember who you are, Gable. Remember who you are." But it can be hard to remember who we are, and not just for movie stars. And in these challenging times, it's sometimes hard to remember what is most important. Philip Gully is a Quaker pastor from Danville, Indiana, whose thoughtful wisdom is appreciated by many. And last week, this is some of what he had to say on his website, his sermon or his scripture reflection. He said, "Our nation's leaders gathered last Thursday evening at the White House to rescue the nation from economic peril." And then in his own fun fashion, he says, "I wasn't invited. So instead, I went to the Olive Garden to help Gene Carter celebrate his birthday. And then I went home and I went for a walk around the block. And it was dark and the stars were out. I could see the Big Dipper, the North Star, Polaris, which is 430 light years away, which means I was seeing it as it was in 1578, long before the world ever heard of subprime mortgages. The future astronomer Galileo was 14 years old. Galileo would grow up to inform us that the Earth was not the fixed center of the universe, after all, as the church and scientists had taught forever. I'm happy to report," he says, "that 359 years later, in 1992, the church formally apologized to Galileo, who was not available for comment. I say this, Gully says, to introduce the matter of perspective, to remind us that what Galileo taught long ago is true, that the Earth is not the center of the universe, that the universe still spins merrily along as it has for billions of years, and that the challenges that we face do not mean that the world has ended. A part of our world has changed, to be sure, but it remains to be seen whether that change will be bad or good. Gully says, if these challenges cause us to live more responsibly and sensibly, to live within our means, to stop borrowing against our children's future, then the lesson might well be worth our present difficulties. If they cause us to trust less in our money and more in one another, then this upheaval might someday be seen as a blessing in disguise, as the silver lining of this economic cloud. If these problems make us more gracious, more sympathetic, more quick to help one another, then this time might well be viewed as the beginning of America's renewal. Times like this not only cause us to put things in perspective, he says, but to reconsider our priorities. And last night, Gully said, I conducted the funeral of a 46-year-old man who died from leukemia, leaving behind a family who would gleefully surrender their last dime to have their husband and daddy alive again. I can assure you that they have not given any thought to America's economy. They stopped that luxury 18 months ago when someone they deeply loved began a battle for his life. Thanks to Philip Gully for his thoughts. It's not the economy, stupid. It's not. It's about love. It's about who matters most to us. It's about who God calls us to be, who God has made us to be, and the life God has made us to live. And sometimes it takes leukemia, or maybe sometimes it takes a little upheaval in the market, maybe to get us to really think about what it is that matters most. Who it is that matters most. It's not the economy. It's about love. So hear now the words of another man who was approaching his death. Hear what he had to say the night before he died. The man that we call Jesus of Nazareth, the man we call Lord and Savior because of the way he chose to live and the way he chose to die. Paul writes about the last night of Jesus' life and what he said to his friends. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for the forgiveness of sins. All of you drink of it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Take this bread. Drink this cup. Do this to remember me. When we join people from around the world today taking the bread and drinking the cup, we remember Jesus. We remember his love. We remember the way he welcomed children. We remember how he had compassion for the sick and the lonely. We remember how he held people to a high standard and called them to meet it. And when they didn't, forgave them and called them to meet it again. We remember one who dined with the strong and the weak, who challenged the powerful to do good and who empowered the weak to meet their challenges, who in the end gave his life for his friends and also for his enemies. Take this bread and drink this cup, Jesus said to his friends centuries ago. Take this bread and drink this cup now, Jesus says to us, to we who dare to call ourselves his friends now. And then, and now, Jesus can empower those who trust him to be the people God has made us to be. To remember the one who loves us more than we can know, the one who loves us often more than we love ourselves, the one who calls us to find our life by giving it away. Remember who you are, Gable, the movie star said. Remember who you are, John and Nancy, Susan, Brian. Remember who you are. And even more, remember whose you are. Remember to whom you belong. For he comes to us again in the bread and in the cup to empower us to be the people God calls us to be. Because in the end, it's all about love. Pray with me. Gracious God, whatever it is we bring to your table today, our fears, our anxieties, our sins, our doubts, our disappointments, our dreams, our hopes, our sorrows, our longings. Lord, we bring them before you, and we ask that in the bread and the cup alongside them, you would grant us your peace that passes all understanding, your courage for the living of this life, and most of all, for your love, a love that we can receive and then share. For Christ's sake, for the world's sake, and for our own sakes, we ask it. And let all God's people say, Amen.